We've been kind of walking through some things that are important important to us, things that we believe that when we got here that the Lord established and wants to continue to establish in this area. Our mission is simple. It's encountering Jesus, being transformed by his presence. And can I tell you, like, that honestly comes from a place where growing up, I went to church. I played church. I went there every Sunday morning, every Sunday night, because we were Baptists and we were good Baptists, and that's what we did. And then Wednesday night, and I did it all. I went to all the things, but inwardly, nothing was changed. On the outside and around certain people, I could look a certain way. Yes, sir. No, sir. Oh, you want me to pray before? Okay, I can do that. Right? And I could play the game. But there was no change in me. And so this idea that we are encountering Jesus, being transformed by his presence, it's from this idea that I don't want to just do this my entire life and just have all of us play church. I mean, some of us are getting too old for that, right, Pastor Mike? I mean, not you in particular, but I get an amen from you, but maybe you too. But like, there's more things to do than that, than just show up on Sunday and play church and say all the right things, do all the right things, and then walk out of here on Monday. We're not going to walk out of here Monday, but we'll walk out of here and come Monday. Just chill out. Come Monday, we're right back to who we were before Sunday. The goal and the desire of this place is that we would encounter him. Not just show up and sing some good songs and eat some good bacon. Glory to God. But to encounter him. To see him face to face like Moses did. But then once we do that, we don't just go, oh, that's cool, and I'm going to turn around and... But to be transformed by his presence. Not to just be a better version of me. Because even the best version of Jeff, apart from the Lord, is not good enough. It's to be transformed, for me to be changed into something completely different. That the thoughts and the desires, not my actions, those will follow, but that my thoughts and my desires will be shaped and transformed to match his, and then my behavior will follow. We spend so much time on the behavior, and we'll never change the behavior long term without getting back down to the thoughts, to the desires. If we don't do that, then all we're doing is playing church. Encountering Jesus, being transformed by his presence. Then we're looking at this idea to what does it mean to, it's the with, right? Walking with Jesus. Imitating Jesus. Today, T, together as family. And next week is H, here for our community. Like this church, we want to begin to just kind of open that up and tell you what we're here for and what we're about. We want to be people that are walking with Jesus. Like we believe that this relationship with him is not just Sunday to Sunday. I believe it can be. I believe that it has been. But that's not his goal and his desire. It's to walk with him day in and day out. When we're on the mountaintop or when we're in the valley or everywhere in between. We want to spend time with him because where we go from outside of here, we will only be able to imitate him if we've first been with him. You'll never be able to imitate someone that you don't know very well. And then when we look at imitating him, it's this idea that we're not trying to just deal with the behavior and we imitate him, that we've first been with him. And the more that you're with him, the more you become like him. And we shared that you can really imitate someone well the more that you're with them. And they say this about married couples. The longer you're married, you begin to look like one another, which in my case, that hopefully that's true. All right, I start to look a little like her. Start with my pale skin, Lord, right? But like, And it's not that you actually begin to look like them, but it's the way you speak, the cadence, your mannerisms, the things, the way that you think and act and do the things. You begin to look like them because you've spent a lot of time with them. And that's what we're trying to say, is that we want to imitate him. We looked at Paul. He said, imitate me as I imitate Christ. Today, we're in this idea that it's together as a family. We believe, like, non-denominational churches are wild, aren't they? Like, we're like, man, this is a great idea. We don't want to be part of a denomination. Let's just get off and do it ourselves. The truth is, we're not non-denominational. We're like all denomination, right? Like, we got people with Catholic backgrounds, Baptist, Methodist, Lutheran, you know, First Baptist, Second Baptist, Missionary Baptist, Independent Baptist. I'm just picking on the Baptists. There's probably all those. There's United Methodist, Global Methodist, whatever, right? There's all the things. And it's like, hey, that'd be cool. Why don't we just do all of that and then make it into one building? And you're like, man, that's hard. But our goal is that, yeah, we want to bring all of that together for the glory of God, because what it says in Revelation is that in heaven, it's going to be a people of every language, nation, tribe, and tongue. And man, isn't that what's represented here today? We are a multi-denominational church, not a non-denominational church. We are all of them at the same time. And so we all bring that in. And our goal is to be here together as a family, to put apart those differences, some of those beliefs that are a little out there and some that are like, okay, we're going to come together as a family because that's what we're here for. There's this idea that, what does that mean? We're going to be in Galatians chapter 6. If you want to turn there. Several years ago, I did a backpacking trip. Now, don't think anything of me. I like the idea of backpacking trips. The actual things aren't nearly as fun, right? But I love the idea of backpacking trips. And so when I got peer pressured into doing it, I was like, yeah, it'll be great. And this particular backpacking trip, it was brutal, especially for someone who doesn't try to do anything right and healthy. And so you had to hike up 4 miles, and then you would do like a base camp, and then you would have to hike up another 3 to get to the top where we really were going to spend more time. And we were on our way up there, and there was this guy that was with us, and man, he was struggling. I mean, I was struggling, but not as bad as this guy. And we're not even to the first spot to stop and like camp, and we're only there for one night, and then you got to pack up and go and spend a week at the summit. And I mean, we finally get him up to the base camp, and he, on the way to the base camp, though, he's like taking clothes out of his backpack and like, I don't need that. I don't need this. He's just like throwing, trying to make it lighter so that he could get up there. And man, it was rough. I remember he burned some of his clothes when we got to the base camp. He's like, man, this is dumb. I'm not doing this. I'm not going to make it up there. I'll just stay here. Y'all come back in a week and get me. And we're like, bro, you're not going to make it a week, first of all. That's not going to happen if you've already burned some of those clothes. Like, but he was just like, I'm not going to do it. I can't do it. And he didn't bring hiking poles. That's kind of crucial on some of these backpacking trips. Some of them, you don't need them. This one, it was told, bring them. And he did not. And so what happened was, I mean, there were probably 16 of us guys there, maybe 15. And what we just had to do was say, hey, what can I take off of you? Hey, I've got 2 poles. You can take one. I'll take one. If one of the elders at the Brock campus, Danny Kokenauer, if you know him, he's pretty annoying. But he has like 13 of everything, and so it really comes in handy on a backpacking trip. So if you want to go on a backpacking trip, if you can put up with someone that's annoying, then take him. Like, somebody had a nozzle on their Camelback that broke, like the nozzle broke off, and he's like, oh, I think I've got one. And he like, I'm like, who has a spare nozzle for a Camelback? Like, he just has everything prepared. And so, but we all were just like, hey, let me take this off of you. Let me take this off of you. Let me take this. And what happened was we lightened his load. We made it to the summit. We camped, had a wonderful week. He made it back, swore he was never going to do that again. And we all said, that's probably a good idea. But when you look at this idea of together as a family, We came alongside him. We didn't remove his responsibility. His responsibility was still to get up there. But we lightened his load. And when we read in Galatians, that's one thing that we're going to look at. Like when you, in my mind, that's the picture of true community, of true family, is we can lighten each other's load, but everybody still has a responsibility. So turn with me to Galatians. We're going to read verse 2 and 3 today. Babies are alive and active today, all right? No worries. Here we go. Verse 2 and 3, it says, share each other's burdens, and in this way, obey the law of Christ. Verse 3, if you don't have the NLT version, man, get you one. It's great. Or just keep it online with you. But look at this. Verse 3, if you think you are too important to help someone, you are only fooling yourself. You are not that important. That's great to say it right now, but then, like, you know, come Tuesday when, you know, you don't want to help someone and the Lord's going to bring that back to you, and you're going to be like, I hate that NLT version. Stupid. You are not that important. That hurts me, at least. Maybe not y'all, but it hurts me. Share each other's burdens, or maybe your version, NIV, will say carry each other's burdens. And I think that's what we really want to look at, because it's this idea that God never designed you to carry the weight of life by yourself. There are burdens that are too heavy to carry alone. And when someone in the family of God begins to stumble, that's when the church steps in and goes, hey, let me help you with that. I truly believe that, you know, like sometimes we get frustrated with the government, right? Number one, government, not a fan of right here. You know, one of the things that really bothers us is like this unemployment and food benefits. And we're like, man, how, you know, people just take advantage of it and they're all mad about it. But truthfully, it's a broken system. And do you know where it fell broken? Right here. The church was designed to take care of those in need. And we have passed that off to the government to take care of. I mean, we can say all the stats about how many orphans there are in America. Like, we can be like that. It's just outrageous. If every church adopted one kid, there'd be no more orphans in America. And I'm saying one church like us, but also one church that has 20,000 people in it. Like, I'm just one church in America. One, take one orphan, no more orphans. And you're like, yeah, but the cost of adoption, have you seen the buildings that we're building right now? Ours was insurance money. Don't judge us, all right? But have you seen what we're doing in church? We're willing to build all these buildings, put all these things, do all these things, and yet we're mad at the government? Because we've forgotten this right here, to share one another's burdens. We don't remove the responsibility, but we share the weight. We carry each other's burdens because to love like Jesus means that we never leave anyone to do it alone. And honestly, in this room right now, there are people that are carrying burdens. You walked in here smiling, but you're being suffocated by the weight of life. I was like, man, Lord, are you mad at me, Lord? Like, did I go off somewhere? That's that seventh trumpet or something. I don't even know. That's it. I don't know if that's good or bad. Some of us are Yeah. I mean, if it was all but Pastor Mike, I'd be like, okay, yeah, that's right. But Pastor Mike's still here, so he hasn't come yet, so we're good. Some of us are carrying these burdens. But some of us have room in our pack. And so what we want to try to do is to go, okay, we're together as a family, and so what does that mean and what does that look like? For those that are carrying something that's crushing, but also some of us that are like, hey, it's actually not that bad right now. The question is, it's not do I have enough, but it's will I open my hands? Father, would you just show us what it looks like to be family when life gets heavy? Father, we just take in a deep breath right now. Tune our ears to hear your voice. Tune our hearts, our eyes to see you in this message today. Holy Spirit, come. Amen. This first idea is that burdens are heavy, they're crushing, and they're real. If you look at this, back to verse 2, it says, share each other's burdens, and in this way you will obey or fulfill the law of Christ. Now, Paul's not just throwing out like this casual suggestion. He's not saying, hey, you know, if you've done everything else, just try this and see what happens. He's given us an instruction into freedom with Christ. Because to be a family, to be a follower of Christ is not about independence, but it's about interdependence with one another. It's this idea, it says, to share each other's burdens or to carry each other's burdens. Now, this isn't like the burden right here isn't a light frustration or an inconvenience. It's this idea that means that it's crushing an oppressive weight. Right? Because once again, we have responsibilities that we are in charge of. But then when life gets too heavy, when it's crushing, when it's overweight, that's where the church comes in and helps us and stands alongside us, shares our burdens, carries our burdens. It's this idea, like when it says to share one another's burdens, it's when you get that cancer diagnosis, the foreclosure notice, when the relationship is falling apart, when your kids are wandering away from the Lord. Like when you get that weight and that crushing, that burden, that's what Paul's talking about right here. Like life is going to happen. The weight of life is going to happen. It comes from this word, the burdens. It means it's a baros is the Greek word. And I love because it's the same word that we shared at first of service in Matthew 11. Come to me, all who are weary and heavy burdened, for I will give you rest. My burden is easy and my yoke is light. It's the same idea of this burden in us as a church. We're called to share that with one another, to carry that with one another. This week, what came to my mind is this idea of the redwood trees. Have you guys seen these things? I know Derek went to California and saw them. Like, these things are ridiculous. Like, they can live up to 2,000 years, 350 feet tall. Like, ridiculous. They're massive. And you think about, like, the roots for those trees, you would be like, man, those got to go so far down to prevent them from topping over. And the truth is that the roots in the redwoods, they only go like 6 to 12 foot deep. But yet they go laterally and they interconnect and intertwine with the other trees. Like a group of redwoods is called a family ring or a family circle. And so you have this idea of a 350-foot tree with only 6-foot roots. Like, how in the world would that stand when the first storm comes through? Well, it can only do that because of the roots that go this way and tie together to the other ones. They can go like up to 100 feet laterally and tie into all of the other trees. They fuse together. And what's interesting is that one of their root system literally becomes the root system of the other one. Because when the storm hits, it's not just pushing against one tree. It's pushing against the whole family circle. And what a beautiful picture of when we are together as family. When you come up against something or the storm comes up against you, if we are woven together, then it's not just pushing against you. It's pushing against me and her, Pastor Mike, and all of the people in here. But if you choose to Lone Ranger it and go, hey, I don't really need church. It can be me and Jesus out on the lake, out on the river, out anywhere in the field, and it's just me and him, and it's glorious. But when that storm hits, it's only got to topple you. But when something comes against one of us in this place, I mean, that's a lot of weight to push around. Not saying anything about y'all or myself, but like, that's a lot of people it's got to push over. What's amazing about it, too, is that because they're connected together and fused together, like they're not just like looped together, but they actually fuse together. And so when the drought comes, the stronger ones actually give nutrients to the weaker ones. So like it's not just, hey, when the storm comes, I've got you. But like when the drought comes, the water and the nutrients from the bigger ones, the stronger ones, feeds the weaker ones. When one falls, this is a lot. There's not a test about redwood trees after this, but when one falls, it provides nutrients. And the ones that grow up right where that one fell are stronger because of it. And in my mind, that's the picture of what we're trying to talk about here. It's this idea of family, of being with one another, walking with him, imitating him. Because our roots don't always have to be this strong individual, like, I've got this. No, the truth is we're human. When we get that call, when we get that diagnosis, it shows how shallow we really can be. Where we thought we were strong, all it takes is one thing to topple us over. But if we're connected and fused together, then when I'm weak, which is often, then I can call somebody else and say, hey, man, this is what's going on in my heart right now. Or, hey, I can't get this out of my mind. Can you help me? Can you speak truth into my life about this? Like, it's bothering me. So when I'm weak, those of you that are strong get to pour into me. To think that I can get up here and do this all by myself is so wrong. Even last week, I preached on bringing back this, what would Jesus do? Pausing and thinking before we say or act on something, but just pausing and asking that simple question. And once again, there was a weak moment in my life this week. And my wife texted me and she said, it really strikes me that you can say, what would Jesus do, but you won't even consider this one thing. I was like, shut up. Who asked you? I didn't ask her. She volunteered that. I'll be honest, I was like, What? Have you ever texted somebody something and they don't respond, so then you text something else like a little bit while later to like see if you can get them to respond? She did that to me. She texted me that early in the morning. No response. She texted me something later. I was like, I'll reply to that. I don't care. I'll just ignore that first little text. No big deal. Let me get over it. Let me throw my fit and feel good about myself and get on my righteous horse and then call another brother and go, hey, this is what she said to me. Can you believe that? And he goes, I'm really proud of her. I'm like, who asked you, man? Why are y'all all coming against me? But it was true because I was in this moment where I needed truth spoken into me, but I didn't want to hear it. To be honest, I still don't want to hear it. I still have to make a decision, and I don't want to have to make that decision. But I know it's the right choice, but I don't want to be told that it's the right choice. But they're stronger than me in this moment and in this instance, and so I need to get that from them. So that's just me, whatever. We have to stop believing that Christianity, being a Christ follower, is about just this individualism. That's not the gospel. The gospel is not saying, hey, just do this by yourself. The gospel is like, hey, what you're going to encounter is going to be far more than you can ever experience and handle on your own. That's why I'm going to give you the Holy Spirit. That's why I'm going to give you believers. And truthfully, it's not the burden that will crush you. It's when you try to carry it alone. You can get that cancer diagnosis, you can get that phone call, and you can feel like, oh man, this is rough. And if you just keep it to yourself and to your own little thing, it will crush you. I know not everyone is a fan of confessing your sins to one another out loud, and man, that's hard. But if I don't have that person that I can do that with, then I can keep that stuff hidden and I can play church all over again. But I have that guy that's going to ask me those questions. If I try to carry that sin alone, that struggle alone, it will crush me every time. I'm just not that good. But when I can have that brother that will call me every week and say, hey, how can I pray for you? What do you need to confess? That weight now gets taken off of my shoulders and it's spread out onto his. It's not me carrying it alone. We're going to have to speed this up if we're going to get some bacon today. Not only are burdens real, hard and overbearing to us sometimes, they're crushing, but two, we're called to share. Like church, I know we make it about a lot of things, but man, we could just boil it down to this right here. We're called to share each other's burdens. And the idea of share, it's this Greek word, bastazo. And it's not passive. It's not, hey, I'm going to pray for you. It's physical, it's active, and it's costly. If you turn to Mark 15, you don't have to, but it won't be on the screen because I didn't know I was going to say it. If you look at Mark 15, there's verse 21. Jesus is on his way. He's carrying the cross. He's on the road, that road, like if you ever find yourself like in a tense battle of Bible trivia at home, Via Dolorosa is what it's called, right? Via Dolorosa, all right? That's the road up to Calvary. Jesus is carrying the cross. He stumbles not once, not twice. And then here's what it says. It says, a passerby named Simon, who was from Cyrene, was coming in from the countryside just then. And the soldiers forced him to carry Jesus' cross. Simon was the father of Alexander and Rufus. I guess they wanted to credit the right Simon. Pretty common name back then. But you have this story where Jesus is going to the cross, carrying the cross, going to the place of the cross. And he stumbles, and they call out this guy, Simon, to come and carry his cross. To share, to bastazo his burden. And what's interesting is Simon is just there for the Passover. He's from Cyrene in North Africa. And now he gets to partake in the greatest story ever told. We know his name hundreds and thousands of years later. Not only that, we know that he had a son named Alexander and a son named Rufus. Awesome. But this idea to share is so much bigger than you. Like, you know, as a dad, as a father, like we're told we want to leave legacy and impact and to do all these things. And a lot of times we're talking about a lot of different things that don't really matter. But what a legacy to leave. To share in someone's burden that now your name is known for hundreds and thousands of years. Do you realize the impact that you can have on someone's life just by simply sharing that burden? The truth is, to share each other's burdens, it is costly. It will mess up your perfectly curated calendar. At staff meeting, we're always planning things, and Kelly, for some reason, writes things down in pen, even though I tell her not to, because I change my mind a lot. She'll write it down in pen. I'm like, that's going to change. In my mind, I know that, but I still let her write it down in pen. But like, you have this idea to share one another's burdens, to carry each other's burdens, to bastazo each other's burdens. It's going to cost you. It's going to wreck that calendar. It's going to drain you of your emotional tank, of like what you think you can handle. It's going to drain it. And it will expose exactly how limited you really are. That could be important later. But if your version of Christianity never costs you comfort, time, or money, then are you even following Jesus? Let me say that one again. If my version of Christianity never cost me comfort, time, or money, then am I even following Jesus? Bearing burdens will wreck your schedule, but that's just the point. We took the kiddos camping at the state park there in Strawn, Palmetto Mountain State Park. What? Shout out. And took the kids camping. My favorite part of camping is not the setup, that's the worst, or the takedown. But when it finally gets dark, you got the fire going, and you're all sitting around the fire, and man, it's a great sight. I wanted to actually do like an illustration in here with that, and pretty much everybody said that's a bad idea, so I said, okay, whatever. I mean, we did have one burn down, so let's not make two burn down. It's not a good legacy to leave. But like that idea of like when you're around the campfire and everything's together, all the coals are together and they're getting heat from one another. If you just take one out and set it beside, like on the rock, you just set it beside by itself over there. Like, it'll stay lit for a little while, but eventually it goes out. Eventually it dies, but then you can pick it back up and put it back in the fire and it reignites. And that's a picture that when we share one another's burdens, we say we're in this together. That as soon as you go, hey, I've got this, or I don't want to burden them with this, or this is too much, this is too deep, it's too weird, it's too strange. It's all the things, like, no, this is my battle, I got to fight, right? These are my demons, I got to deal with all the things. When you take yourself and remove yourself from there, you're like, hey, this isn't that bad. I can do this. But eventually you burn out, because where you're supposed to be is right here with everybody else. Where do we get our fire from, our passion, our depth from? It's from each other. That's how we stay alive. And when we separate, that's exactly what the enemy wants. That's his whole plan. We're never meant to be these lone pieces of coal. Last one here, verse 2. Share each other's burdens, and in this way you will fulfill the law of Christ. You will fulfill the law of Christ. Fulfill means to fill up completely, to top off what was lacking, or to bring something to its full intended measure. The picture is this, where the law of Christ, the beautiful part of this, is the law of Christ is not rules and commands and requirements. It's one thing, it's love. In John chapter 13, 34, it should be up on the screen, I believe. Yeah, 13, 34. He says, so I'm giving you a new commandment to love each other just as I have loved you. You should also love each other. Verse 35 is not up there, but it says, and in this way, they will know that you're mine. Not how many pounds of bacon you brought to the cook-off today or to the whatever family brunch lunch today. Not by how many times you serve, how much money you give, how many Bible passages you have memorized, how many Bible studies you lead, how many homeless people you pick up. Not by any of that. But by how you love one another. Galatians 5, just right before where we are now, Paul says it this way. He says, for the whole law can be summed up in this one command: love your neighbor as yourself. To fulfill the law of Christ is to love our neighbor as ourself. To share one another's burdens, to carry each other's burdens, is saying, I can fulfill the law of Christ in that one thing. I mean, take out all the other rules, all the other regulations, all the other things that you think that you're supposed to have to do to be a good Christian. If you just do this, to share each other's burdens, you can fulfill the law of Christ. Man, that's a simple checklist. I mean, not really, because it's going to cost you everything. This isn't like extra credit Christianity. It's not like, okay, well, I'm doing all of these things, and if I can, if I have time, then I'll just do that, and that will earn me brownie points. That's not it. Like, this is the basis of the gospel. Completing, filling to the brim, the very heartbeat of everything that Jesus said. It's when we share one another's burdens, we're making the invisible love of Christ visible. You go back to the redwoods, the roots, they don't just keep the trees standing, but they have their own ecosystem. The nutrients and waters go from the network of healthy to the hurting. And the truth is, as church, we don't just survive burdens. We're actually supposed to thrive in them. Why is the fastest growing church in Iran? Because it's being oppressed. Jesus' disciples, the entire known world back then became Christian. Like, the gospel got to everyone. And this is why, if they got caught, they were put on a stake, dipped in tar, and lit on fire so that you could go to the Colosseum and watch brothers and sisters get eaten alive by lions. And that's when Christianity exploded. Christianity in China and Iran, Afghanistan, it's exploding. And what happens if they get caught? They get killed. So maybe the solution isn't more freedom. Maybe the solution is that we actually start living what we teach and what we read. But this has to be done by the Spirit. Because, man, from here, you can, if you're a good, you know, whatever number on the Enneagram, maybe it's a 3 or I don't know. I don't even know any of that stuff. I'm just joking. But whatever your personality is, like, you're like, okay, here we go. I got a list, and I can do this, this, and this. I can knock it out, and I can, man, you're going to get burned out quick unless the Lord's telling you to do all those things. So Monday through Saturday, it's not about adding more to your to-do list, but it's learning to love like he does. One small step at a time. No heroics required. Just faithful obedience. Here's what I think that means for me. It's to listen without fixing. Let me say that to the spouse that needs to hear that again, right? Lauren. Listen without fixing. You look at Job's friends. Y'all remember Job went through all of the stuff that he went through? His friends went and sat with him for 7 days without saying a word. That's how you know they were male friends, right? 7 days, no talking. That was dumb. And everything was good. It's when they opened their mouth that things went bad. Sometimes the greatest thing you can do is just listen without fixing. When you see someone and you say, hey, how are you doing? And they go, good. And you're like, that's a lie. What's in your pack right now? What's the heaviest thing? Let's talk about it. Two, pray their burden into your own. They didn't go to church here, but they were with us at our last church. The wife is going through, she got diagnosed with breast cancer, and she's going through some holistic treatment. And we're just sharing that with our guys group. And one of the guys said, man, I've been praying for them. And what it's turned into is getting up earlier. And my wife is getting up earlier with me and praying. And that my kids are now getting up earlier with me and praying. So that's not just like a, hey, I'm going to pray for you. No, that's like, hey, I'm going to take that burden and I'm going to add it to my daily rhythm. I'm going to add it to the things and I'm going to pray for you as if it was my own. To actually go, instead of walking along the guy with the pack that's too heavy and going, man, that looks really rough. I'm sorry about that. And you just keep walking. It goes, hey, what can I do? That burden that you have, I'm going to make it my own. And third, do something tangible. Next time we come through this idea of together as a family, we're going to be looking at Acts chapter 2. And you get the beautiful picture of a church in Acts chapter 2 where, yeah, they met together, they had all these things, but later on it says that they sold all of their possessions and they gave to anyone who was in need. And no one was in need. Do something tangible for somebody. Like take them a meal. Give them a ride. Venmo them money for groceries. Like, yeah, pray. We're going to pray and we're going to share that burden. And when we're in that prayer, the Lord's going to go, hey, you've got money in Venmo you didn't even know you had. Look at that. Just Venmo them some money for groceries. So Holy Spirit, right now, would you just, what's one way, one small thing that we can do? Can you teach us to be family, to carry each other's burdens? Father, we love you. Amen.